All right, guys, so let's start up. So,
we're pretty much done with the city of Pappas and Vela. Maroth and Vela, if anybody has lingering issues they want to raise today before we move on to
You have lingering issues?
What?
You have lingering issues other than the Tolaim?
If I eat any, it's your
fault. All right. So our topic for today is Mazik Hekdish.
Nice. So we have Mishnah Daf Tes. So Mishnah says, amongst other things, we saw Kol Shachavdi B'Shemirasa, we saw the Hashlunim, L'Hashlunim, that's what we got in Torah and Nevela. So the next in the Mishnah is Nefasim She'im B'Hem Mila, that you're only liable for Nefasim that don't have Mila. Two interpretations of this. One of them is that it means anything that's hekdesh. So your total difference is anything that's hekdesh. Or maybe a subset of that, which is the second interpretation, of the things that are hekdesh, only things that don't have an Isser Me'ilah.
But how's the first one? I don't mean anything.
So you're only liable for things that have an Isser Me'ilah. Sorry, you're only liable for things that don't have an Isser
Me'ilah. Go over those again.
What?
How do we get those two options?
Two options? So the first option is that you're liable for anything that has that is hekdesh, and me'ilah here is a proxy for whether it has hekdesh, whether it has kedusha. You're liable for things that don't have kedusha.
You said you're puter for all hekdesh.
Correct.
You said the liable hekdesh.
Yeah, you said
liable. Oh, I said liable.
You're puter for all hekdesh.
Right. So Mishnah here is talking about your chayiv for all these things. One of the things that you're fighting for is the custom shame behind the law. So you're liable for non-hackish. The other way of saying it is that within the things.
Is the custom shame behind the law being all of hackish or a subsection of hackish that isn't involved?
That isn't?
That there's no dynamic.
That there's no meal.
That is the two ways.
It's like a specific category. It should be according to a good set movie. Touching Khalid, which is Mama Biden. I mean, that would be the case where you're a Khalid. Right, so of Hekdesh, Nefasim She'im B'Hem Mila, within Hekdesh. Nefasim She'im B'Hem Mila means you'd be positive for.
If it aimed at Mila, you were Khalid.
Correct. So just notice also that in the Mishnah, the Din, the exception of Hekdesh, appears together with Nechasim Shein Shal Benegris and Nechasim HaMifadim. So Nechasim Shein Shal Benegris is the Ptur of Mazik Nitzei Akum, and the Ptur of Nechasim HaMifadim is the Ptur of Hefker. So if you're Mazik Nitzei Hefker, Nitzei Hefker, Hefker, Mazik Yiv. So the question is, what's the relationship between these three dinim? Yeah, no.
Is there like address to pay tashlum into?
Yeah, you might say there's no address to pay Hashlum into. I mean, there is. There's a guy and there's Hekdesh. You might say where our address is.
I don't know if the better guy is like a person.
Okay, so meaning what? So put it more generally then.
That they're like, in order for there to be Hashlum in, there has to be some sort of like halachic person that you can pay that.
Yeah, and so there has to be some sort of interpersonal relationship where Yehudu will see in the Hashlum Sukkim. And so the reason why all three of these are grouped together is because they're all chesronos in Re'egu. So I think there are two ways of putting this. One is the leans in more closely to what Noah was formulating, which is that there's no person, right? There's no appropriate person. That works best for Nechasim HaMikladim, for Hefker. It works pretty well for Hekdesh, insofar as Hekdesh is not really a person. It works less well for Akum, unless you think Akum or Lapaneada, I think Martin does say in a few places. Another way of putting it is to say that liability for Nezikin only arises within a very tightly shared social context. That's the connotation of Re'egu. Right? If somebody with whom you share the social world, there's a sense of social cooperation. And then liability arises from breaching those terms of cooperation. But you might say, Hefker, Hekdesh, and Akum, which are excluded from that strong sense of social cooperation, then there may not be liability for nizikin at all. Everybody see that, the two different ways of looking at it? Now, the latter way is a chiddush in that you might think of nizikin just as rules for harming somebody or wronging someone, someone who holds tightly, you wrong them to pay. This interpretation would put Hilchos Nezikin into a category more closely associated with Hashavas Aveda, right? It's like you only have like a Chiyuv Hashavas Aveda for somebody who you have these greater responsibilities towards. Then you might say the same thing is true for Nezikin. So it would be like pushing Nezikin towards the camp of Hashavas Aveda, they require a stronger sense of community or social cooperation in order to justify Chiyuv Hashavas.
In the origin of Sephardim, the Shabbos is this thing. You can just say that Achimim is not human, and he is exactly about societal incentives to minimize damage across all society, and God isn't really relevant to society. Or God, whatever.
Yeah. That's what I'm getting at in this social.
Okay.
But then why is the Akam not part of society? Again?
Those are two different formulations. One can be because it's a responsibility to the individual, and individual entity of God and his ownership is irrelevant.
Right.
Or it could be because, no, there's no responsibility to any individual. It's a pragmatic system of incentives. And the incentives in terms of hectares, but why not the incentives in terms of other people?
Yeah, that's a fair way of putting it. Yoni.
Within the first side, it's been like no person.
Yeah.
So
like there's no bylaws or...
Right, like, so that itself can be divided up within different like, approaches. Like you talk about there's no person, like, there's no God for to pay back the money to.
Right, that's exactly like Noah's first formulation.
Or you're talking about there's no buyers, there's nobody, so we don't own anything. So, like, and then, like, after obviously there's no owner.
Yeah.
After we could talk about that, you don't really, non Jews don't really own Kinyan the same way that Jews own Kinyan.
Yeah.
And Hekish doesn't really have it in Kinyan, maybe even Kodesh only, there's no actual buyers involved.
Right, well, we'll see if that's true, right? That's
right, I'm saying if you want to differentiate, then like, you want to.
Yeah, play. I think that's right. I think we'll have to see. In this sugya, I don't think this sugya itself takes a stand on those differentiations.
Well, they come up within Hekdesh a lot.
Within Hekdesh of Akam, you think? Within Hekdesh of Zikin.
And also within, you look at Hekdesh also, and you're like, if there was an owner at some point.
Yeah, but do you find Chiluk Edin in between them?
Yeah.
I'm not as convinced. Maybe I'll get to the Edin and tell us either what we're missing or what we got wrong. Alright? But I think we should be open-minded to there being distinctions. I'm just not convinced that those distinctions are relevant yet for this again. Eitan and Noah.
Yeah, just I think what's interesting about the second answer like you made is that there are two larger ideas going on. Number one, you say it's more of a in the category of a Shabbos Aveda.
Yeah.
And the emphasis is on the Mazik. But the whole issue in this case is that there's no actual Niza. So I think it's
why is there no Niza? In which case? In the Hekdesh case?
That's not a Niza. That's why you.
Well, that, I think that leans more in the first explanation. Right? The first explanation is that there's no Gavra, there's no person who suffers the loss, there's no liability. The second one is saying, grant that there is this legal entity or legal person of Hekdesh, just I don't have the same kinds of social responsibilities towards them as I have to somebody who participates in my social world.
Or maybe they just can't be a Nisak because they don't exist in this social world. I mean, the fact that they're not a halakhic male Jew therefore makes them impossible to be in the world, and therefore it's a pisaron in the Nisak.
What if they're a halakhic female Jew?
That would be a fetish. I mean, I think Mara's talking about that.
Okay, Mara does. Mara does. Mara has a whole thing about...
in the fifth part.
What? No, you're in the first part. That Hislav, I think.
Huh.
I think Mari talks about Nashi and Hisha Pasav, Hisha, and so we'll get to that. Yeah, but here I don't think we gain by conflating the two categories. I don't think we gain by saying that they're not in the social world because they're not legal persons. And I see that could be an explanation for the second side, but I don't think it changes the second side just because the reason for the second side is the first side. That's that.
I like the Hezbeir, but like, how does it square up the fact that like generally Choshen Mishpat applies to non-Jews as well?
Does Choshen Mishpat generally apply to non-Jews as well?
Yeah, with the exception of things like Ona and Bikurvis.
And
Zeyra.
Yeah, so what's left?
Yeah.
This is your college one
Right, so I think you divide Choshen Mishpat into two categories, right? There are categories that derive from social cooperation, and then there are ones that derive just from objective wrongs committed towards others. And then, you know, you explain those that feel like that. But I think it is interesting. You've seen push mishpat a lot of distinctions between them. All right. So, I think dining depends on the year on here, because I very good year we'll get to. So, or at least Yoni's going to tell us about the year, if I didn't put it on here. So you can see Rashi here commenting on the Mishnah, the Chazim Shein Behem Yila. Kilomar, Im Hizaki, the Chazim Shein Behem Yila, and Yichayev Lishalim. About Im Hizaki, Nixte Heptish, and Yichayev, and Nachulam, Kuhu Nizikim Mishoriyev. So I think Rashi just noticed he's interpreting the Mishnah in its broadest sense. It's referring to Nitzei Hekdesh versus non-Nitzei Hekdesh. And he says all of Nezikin is derived from the Hekdesh Shari. This implies that Hekdesh is not considered to be Re'eyu. Now, it's an interesting question whether this Mishnah, which says that Hekdesh is not Chayiv, you're not Chayiv for Nitzei Hekdesh, is there a distinction to be drawn between Karen, Adam Hamazik, and Nitzei Shein Berega? So the Makor, which the Gemara appeals to, which Rashi quotes, is this Gzeres HaKasav of Shorei Eyu, and that Makor itself is limited to a case of Keren. So the question is this din of Mazik Hekdesh Pachter also restricted to its source, which would mean that only this Keren is Pachter when it comes to Hekdesh. So we'll see this Machlokas Rishonim, which we'll get to in a second. It's worth pointing out that in the Gemara Daf Lamed Zayin on the base, the Gemara says this view that Shori Eyu is Lamai's Karen Behekdish disagrees with the Bishimon ben Menasya, or Bishimon ben Menasya disputes it. And the Gemara there quotes his opinion, Bishimon ben Menasya Omer, Shor Shal Hekdish Enagach Shor Shal Hedyo Pater, Vishal Hedyo Chenagach Shor Shal Hekdish, Bein Tam, Bein Muad, Mishalim Nezek Shalim. So according to Bishimon ben Menasya, not only is it the case that you're not putter when your shore is mazik hektish, but you're even more chayav for being mazik hektish than you are for being mazik re'egu. And I think there is a certain lay appeal to that svara, right? It's like, look, if I harm my friend, it's one thing, but if I'm mazik nifse hektish, that's even more egregious. And I'm like taking away from the Beis HaMikdash. So you can see the appeal, and in fact, at one point, when the Gemara is offering Kavamina as what motivates that Shita, the Gemara says, the Kala Homer and the Hedyo, Ma Hedyo Shnagash Shal Hedyo Chayyav, Ki Nagash the Hekdesh Lo Kosha Kingdom Chayyav. Right? So, at least in this interim Kavamina, which the Gemara rejects because of Dai Lovamina Nindios Kingdom, it sounds like, yes, it is more egregious to Mazak Hekdesh than to Mazak Re'ehu. But you might say, again, the Maskana, the Gemara rejects that because some of the aforementioned considerations.
Ironically, reverse takes that the other way.
Yeah, so we're going to get to reverse. Yeah. So reverse thinks this is true, even the Maskana, right?
Right.
That's what as a reverse is going to say, which is pretty interesting. Yoni.
Well, like Rashi, unlike the Mishnah, which we saw earlier, like, he explicitly goes against the Shita. Like, when he explained the Dhamma case that Imizaki is the Hekdesh, anyhow.
Right.
I think that's what's explaining the reverse case.
In Kizakti Nifse Hekdish, if I'm Mazik Hekdish, I'm not Chayav.
Right, but he's talking about if you are Mazik.
Yeah.
He's, I thought that both explain what happens if you are damaged.
Right, but that's the part. Even with the Dagaf Tour, the Dagaf Tour, the Hekdish, that's also the case of Rashi. And the Mishnah, I think, takes both cases. The Mishnah Lamed Zayin.
Yeah, so I'm not saying he's playing Mishnah Daf Tet, where the Mishnah Daf Tet would be understood to be referring to the biblical beliefs.
Yeah, you still should Dagaf Hekdish, right? But the Mishnah thinks it applies. Lamed Zayin thinks it applies.
Yeah. I'm pointing out that Rashi explicitly is going against Rishon Chazan's interpretation.
He's passing the Chachamim.
Yeah. Okay. But I'm saying, opposed to like the Rambam and Rosh Hashanah on the text, like on that Mishnah, he explains up in the case.
Yeah, but presumably because he thinks that it's reflexive, right? If it's
right, but I think which one are they interpreting?
What?
Which one are they? How the way they interpret the Mishnah on the text?
Yeah, do you think something substantive emerges from that, or?
Maybe how much the Rambam might be more appealing to Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Rambam in a minute, and then you'll tell me if you think the Rambam's Perish Mishnayos bears on his sheet there. Okay, so that's certainly the Makar comes from Niske Karen, but even within that Makar Niske Karen, Rosh Hashanah Menasya offers an opposite interpretation. The Rishonim all want to know, what about other Hamazik Hekdesh? So the same rule applies. So we saw Rashi already generalized the case of Re'eyu from short to all cases of Adonai Hekesh. There's a cryptic Gemara Me'ila that we test, where the Gemara says there's a Hekesh between Truma and Me'ila. Ma Truma Yotal Prat Mazik. Gabi Hekesh Nami Kol Dabar Achila Ki Mazik Le Pater. So the Gemara Me'ila seems to say that when it comes to Hekesh, you're Pater for being Mazik. It's not clear if that means that there's a Ptur Hekesh in general, although some Rishonim appeal to this Ki Yotzal Prat Mazik, and that has a Truma, and it's extended from Truma to Hashem. The Gemara Bavitzia Daf Tzadik Tesna Beis seems to give off the exact opposite implication. This is the Gemara we've seen already. This is the case of Haiman Yigazal Chavitza Ditamri Mechavero. Somebody steals a package of dates. And remember, it's worth in bulk, it's worth $49, but sold individually, it's worth $50. So Gemara says if you stole it from a henjot, you pay $49, the lesser value. But if you stole it, you're paying back the hekdesh, you mashal and chamishin the chumshayu. So you pay $50 and you pay an additional chumash. That's the case of Gnema. Then Gemara says, mash ain came to mazik, the lo mashal and chumsha. But if you're just mazik hekdesh, you would pay the keren, you wouldn't pay the additional $50. So we've shown him point out, and then we're stammering, Ish Yotal Kodesh Prat Lamazik. So it's a Jerusalem Kostik to tell you that you're punter from the Chomesh. So we've shown him all point out, it sounds like you're chayiv for the principal amount, the 50, when you're Mazik Hekdish. The Jerusalem Kostik of Ish Yotal Prat Lamazik only punters you from the extra Chomesh. Right? So this seems to contradict the view that Adam Mazik Hekdish is punter. Everybody see that? Does everybody get the Gemara? Yeah? Javi, you get the Gemara? Yeah? You could say no if you don't. No. Well?
I think so.
You think so?
What time did this appear in the Maramon?
Well?
What time?
What time did it appear in the Maramon?
That was the
104
ones?
What?
That's the 104.
What's that? Is there a follow up question?
Or? No, I don't really understand.
You don't understand the Gemara?
And I was saying that in front of me. Yeah, I don't understand.
You don't understand the Gemara?
No, I haven't seen it before.
Yeah, but well, you're seeing it now.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Well,
I'm trying.
So basically, the Gemara is saying that.
It is being poorly explained.
Well,
it is being poorly
explained. Yeah. Is it poorly explained?
We need some more time to process.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm saying. Okay, so look at it now. Look at it now. Look at it now. And then I'll say it after so the second time you see it. The important thing to take away from the Gemara here is that it says that if you're mazik hekdesh, you don't pay the chomesh, the additional one-fifth penalty in addition to the principal, because of exer sarkasim. The implication is that, well, you do pay the principal when you're mazik hekdesh, right? You pay the actual value of the nesef. Right? Joni, got it?
Yeah.
So Rashi doesn't like this Gemara?
So we'll see, yeah. So it seems to contradict what Rashi says. All we're trying to pick up on this. So you can see Tosos in our sugya, Tosos on Daf Vav and Beis. So you know, you should have seen this when you're going through the...
Yeah, that one, yeah.
When you're going through the Gemara.
This Tosos, yeah.
Right, so Tosos here quotes the Gemara here on Tzadik Tes.
No.
Right?
No, this is
Tosos. Yeah. Right. So the...
our sugya is on
Daf Vav and
Beis.
So the Tosos is on 90.
So Tosos says... so what do you do with that Gemara in Hashoel that we just read? Mash mahav keren chayiv. Hainu midrabanan. He thinks that Gemara is only talking about a chiyuv midrabanan. Venira deshar nezikin de tiri behektish. Imiri mi keren. Umei adam umei bor de patav obsulia mekdashim mekoshkin hektish. It's not clear if the Tosafot were learning it out just from keren or from this Adam and Bor also with this special Ptur for Psuyam Kedashim. Tosos in Bav Metzia says something similar. Prat Lamazik, the Lomashalim Chumsha, Hainu Midravana, Aval Midaraisa, Lomashalim Afilu Keren. And he cites our Mishnah of Prat Lenechasim Shein Behem Me'ila, so the only Chayat for Nechasim Shein Behem Me'ila, Kedmashim Reish Parakama, the Ketanya, Kol Dalit Abos. I'll call Daladavos.
Right, so he thinks that our Mishnah is going according to everybody, and
Tosfos even cites, remember, there's one day that says that Mave in our Mishnah, in the first Mishnah, is referring to Adam. In which case, the Mishnah Daf Tes is also referring to Adam.
She does Rav.
Well, yeah, she does Rav. And so that's how you know that our Mishnah offers all cases of Hekdish, not just the case of Karen.
How does he explain that you need a Derech HaPasuk to Pater Chomesh?
So I think he would say this is Derech HaPasuk that pathers you from everything. The Sigmar is only applying it to the case of Chomesh because it thinks that Mijabana is trying to take care of
it. It's a huge Kiddush.
In Tosos?
Yeah.
But here's Tosos quoting, I feel like I'm thinking the other man, the Marvin Mavis, and other. Here's Tosos quoting, she does Rab. That justification.
So there's two separate Mikoros that you're pondering for me, Mavis, and Hekish?
For Ishki.
Shari Ayu and the Ishki Lokal Hekish?
Yes. Correct. They were thinking that these are two separately moved in. And the thing is, Marba Messia is, in Meikar Din, next there's a custom patos you from Karen as well. Got it? Yeah, it's a great Mechudash reading of that Marba Messia. Tosos also points to the Yushalmi. Tosos in both places, both by Metzia and Bava Kamma, refer to the Yushalmi. Here's what Yushalmi says. Hani Rabbi Fia, Nizakin Lehejiot, Ve'en Nizakin Legevava. So Tosos points this line to Yushalmi as demonstrating that there is no Nezek at all when it comes to Gevava. So there's no distinction between Kara and Adam. Joan, you want to say something?
Yes, meaning that's why it's terrible.
Yeah, this is one of the proofs that Gemara and Bar Mitzvah has to be Achiv Karen here is ambiguous, not Karen for Nizke Karen, right, but for the principle of the Nezek. Yeah.
This may not be so interesting, but I feel like you can just say that Gemara and Bar Mitzvah is just Rav, and they hold it. She does Shmuel.
Yeah, and make it not look as a sickest.
Exactly.
Right.
I know that's not interesting or fun, but
right.
That's totally possible.
Meaning, yeah,
it's,
more,
it's, you know, it's like, hey, we're, she does Shmuel.
Yeah, you might,
like,
you might say that. I'm not really good at it. Obviously, Tosfos doesn't want to say that.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, Fiona.
I might be having a hard time. We're saying that Rashi and Tosfos might be basing their ideas of the distinction between Karen and Adam.
Tosfos explicitly appeals to the Yushalmi.
And we're coming here in Rashi. That's really my question.
What?
We're coming from Rashi.
Yeah, we don't know where Rashi gets it from.
Okay.
Rashi doesn't tell us. Rashi just extends it to all cases.
Mm-hmm.
And Tosfos is explicit that it's born out of his reading of the Yushalmi.
Do you make a distinction between Hekdesh's R.U. Someone that wasn't Kaddish one thing.
Yeah. So we haven't seen any distinctions yet between different grades of Hekdesh.
Yeah.
The Gemara has one distinction, we'll see the Kachin Kalam, I'll leave it there for a second. Suppose I'm Makdish my Kaddish. Kachin Kachin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And still in my Risha.
Yeah, but don't you have to give, if, let's say someone destroys it, don't you have to give another one? Like, is there a
Risha? Kind of said a right elaborate too.
What?
Right.
The Risha is supposed to be addressed.
Oh, okay. Right. Same thing. Basically, that Rashi about Taibach for you, so. No.
I think Tosfos says that it's the Ravana because there's no reason to motivate. Because you just have to deal with that Gemara, because otherwise, there's no reason to distinguish between, I don't know, Mazik HaKadosh and Mamon Mazik HaKadosh.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. I think Tosfos thinks that clearly the underlying principle here is that Hekdesh is Mufka from Mazikin. And the burden would be on somebody who wants to distinguish between Adam and Mazik. And this came up to explain why this should be different. That's an interesting question, why you might distinguish. So maybe we'll get back to that in a minute. Let me just build up the sheet dose. Perfect. So the Rambam in this case, Mamon Ches Aleph, paskins the Gemara on Daf Vav and the Mishnah on Islam and Zayin. So the Rambam in this case, Mamon Ches Aleph, right? Shor Shal Yisrael Shenagach Shor Shal Hekdesh. O Shal Hekdesh Shenagach Shor Shal Yisrael Pater. So here again, you only see that the Rambam thinks it goes both ways. Shenemar shori ehu, v'chol ha'kachim shachayav melein ni'ila, hein she'ein bahen din nezikin. V'psu ha'mukashim yesh bahen din nezikin, bein she'ezik u'bein she'vusku, So the question here is the Rambam paskening a halakha that's limited to Nizkei Keren, or is the Rambam following Tosos and holding that the Ptur Hekesh applies to all cases of Nizikin? Avi, you have a sense of how the Rambam holds? Leah, do you have a Felter?
He says, "Kol kachim shchayv alayim bi'ilah, ain't behem din nizikin at all."
Yes. So it sounds, so this line,
it sounds like it's from Tom Nizikin.
So yeah, so this line sounds like it ain't behem bi'ilah b'chal, right? It's like all of the whole category of hekdish is mufka from Nizikin, right?
Well, there's a question about all the other Nizikin or different categories of hekdish. What was your question?
So it sounds like there's just a whole lot of questions from the Mila, ancient Amen, Din Nizikin. It sounds like all Hekdesh is looked up from Din Nizikin.
Right.
Right? Which mean all the others.
Right, correct. Right. Yeah.
That's what you're getting at.
Yeah. Okay,
but the first line suggests more that the Ptur stems from a limited halacha within Nizkei Shor or Nizkei Keren.
Well, that makes sense. That's where we're learning it out from.
Also,
right.
Sure.
So you're saying this is just the Makar.
And it brings
exactly
the Makar, so yeah.
Yeah. But you might say this clause of Abraham din Nizikin is just applying to that din Nizikin which he specified in the first lines. No?
Yeah, why would he be repeating it? He said the din already. Shorshali shoshino gap. Shagu shorshino kaitish. Ripatir. We have a pasuk.
Okay. But you might say this is the only din Nizikin which doesn't apply to. This is the only din Nizikin which doesn't apply to Hekdesh.
You'd say it applies to both lines. I don't think you can say it only applies to the first one.
Well, he's saying, Kol HaKadosh Shem Mila, this is the realm of Hekdesh, which is governed by this line.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with
you. Meaning what? You agree with Stelter's reading?
No, you're
reading. I'm just trying to close this. I don't disagree with Stelter. I'm just saying there's an ambiguity here.
What are they?
You disagree with Stelter, right? Did I see the issue?
What other do you agree?
What? So suppose Adam is Mazik Hekdesh, as opposed to Shor being Mazik Hekdesh. Right?
I don't want to be here. I would be in Chol HaMazik. I
would talk about
Adam here.
You're saying if Rama wanted to introduce a Ptur Adam HaMazik, it should be in Chol HaMazik. It shouldn't be in this game moment at all.
And I don't think he has. I don't think he mentioned that.
Right, and he does mention it elsewhere.
He doesn't mention Ptur.
So that's a question for you, Stelter, right?
It's
like, oh, okay, the Rambam said it here. He doesn't have to say it twice.
He's
definitely still applying it to Bor.
Right.
Well, he's definitely applying it to the other Bor and Shane and all these other things. All the other Abu Nizikin that are...
So you're saying at least this would help you for Bor and
once you're getting that far, so then just tack on Adam.
Right. What?
That's just a pasuk. I mean, it's not like
specifically
limiting... I was just saying, okay, he summarizes the first...
Right, so the paradigmatic case.
Yeah.
Yeah. I give a preferred reading of this? No? It's also interesting to note, if you look in Skiros Beis Aleph,
maybe Yoni has to read.
So the Rambam in Skiros Beis Aleph talks about the miut of Karkos, Avadim, Hekdesh, and Shtaros from Dine Shmira. Right. Then in Halacha Gimel, the Rambam talks about Boshe Kemazik, which you've seen a few times. But the notice Rambam only talks about so in the Rambam talks about the liability cases for Poshea Kemazik, he only talks about being liable in case of Avadim Karkos and Sharos. He doesn't really talk about the Hekdesh case. Right? So why not? You might say, well, yes, Poshea is Kemazik, but there's no Chi of Mazik when it comes to Hekdesh. Right? And this would be an Adam HaMazik case, because it's the case of a Shomer. Everybody follow that?
Yeah.
No? Jonah, tell him.
Sorry,
yeah, I left that and then
I think
wow.
ETR.
Brilliant. What's brilliant?
What you just did. It's great.
What I just did?
I'm saying the way you just formed it.
Yeah, it's a good idea, right?
That's great.
Okay. Savage. John, back to you.
Oh, yeah. So Ethor was noting that we seem to have an exclusion of DNA of hackfish in the olive from Shiljin, Adamor, Batora, Barba, Shomrin, right, etc. And then we get to Beyonce, Shinet, Markia, Mutani, Shamarito, right? So then he's talking about Oshia Kamazik, all of a sudden notice that we're only talking about Lemkargos and Shtaros, and we don't bring up hackfish as something that you can do for Oshia Kamazik.
Right, and that would reinforce the reading.
Right, that would reinforce that you can export that, let's say, that thing we just said in this case.
Right, I mean, Adma Mazik, the hackish would be Pater.
Right.
Right, because right. Even though Poshevsky Mazik itself is Pater.
Right, because why? Because Hain Shain Mahendin Muzikin is like an exportable rule by all Poshevsky.
Got it.
Before you make a duke about something missing, don't you have to prove that? This is a complete list.
Well, in Alta Aleph, Rambam talks about Hekdesh. He says, Yatu Karkos, Yatu Avadim, Yatu Shtaros, Yatu Hekdeshos.
Okay. So saying, oh, so.
And then here, Hekdesh is missing from Alta Gimel.
Is the only one missing?
So Nifse Akum might also be missing.
Uh-huh. But that we also would, we're comparing to the Mishnah. It might fit with Osa Mishnah, Ted. Okay.
Right, but you might say, right, there's no real Mazik, Chiyu Mazik, and Nisei Akut either. That would explain why both are missing, right? So actually, first out even nicer.
But who would you be hired with the Shaman?
Well?
Who would you be hired with the Shaman?
In which case? The Hekdesh case?
Yeah.
Pay Hekdesh, Beth.
Pay Hekdesh to Beit Mikdash?
Yeah, the Gizvar.
So maybe that's part of the difference. Maybe that's part of the list.
I mean, whoever it is that I was Mazik, they're the ones who are going to receive compensation.
Well, if I'm Mazik, you have one in your star, I'm paying the owner.
Right.
If I'm Mazik, Hekdesh, I'm not.
There's no one to pay, but that's one of the basic explanations for why Mazik Hekdesh is Pater in the first place.
So maybe I am hired to pay, but it's just like a difference. It's a difference because I'm not hired to pay the owner, I'm hired to pay.
So they're
not
just to leave it out.
I'm not going to leave it there. It's not a good reason for why. Why he father from why like for his name channel right here. And then not relevant if you're a lead in, not relevant.
He's saying he pays. I don't know if he's even
right. Why would he talk about like
because I'm not paying the same person? The question is the Shomer's relationship to the whole question is the Shomer's relationship to the guy.
So the Gizbar. The Gizbar gave it to him.
No,
pay the Gizbar back.
The Gizbar gave it to him or the guy with Makdash's field and hasn't yet done it?
Say the Gizbar. Gizbar says, look, we got all these fields here. We don't have enough manpower. Why?
That's the case of the Nishvayna of Hekdeshos.
What?
Shomrin's all of a bad. That's referring to a Gizbar case?
Yeah, it could be. Sure.
You don't think that shot is just like with Makdash their field and hasn't been told it?
Not necessarily. Someone's mocked the shit, and...
Yeah, then it belongs to the Gizbar if he's mocked the shit.
Right. So then the Gizbar is responsible.
It's not happening. You're mocked the shit, so it belongs to the Gizbar. But I'm
saying that... Yeah, once you're mocked the shit, Hekdesh owns it. The pigeon is when Hekdesh dissolves there.
Yeah, but in the meantime, who's responsible for the field? Obviously, the Gizbar is not responsible for the field. He's not doing it. He's not killing you. Because the Gizbar is going to be no. The Gizbar is going to be flying. We're like in Gush Dan or something. We're like very far away.
Gizbar knows everything.
Gizbar knows everything. He's in charge of
the
Nisbar.
You think the Bonshalom won't let him know where his house
are? Regular Bonshalom.
I think this is why Brahma, like, I think it's just like this is where Shomer, Brahma wouldn't have been fit.
I don't really hear the force of the question.
I just don't think it's relevant in the same way.
Yeah, I don't know. Anybody have an answer for Zoldyck? Anybody think it requires an answer?
It's really only for me to this question at all. The question is the Rama.
Reformulated into a question.
Itamar's point is that Rama leaves out Hekdesh in the example of things to be high to pay for Poshia and the Shomer.
Right.
My argument is that Hekesh isn't an example of someone you hire to pay, because you're not hired to pay the same person. You're not hired to pay the shomer. The relationship here with him.
So the Pnei Yeshua has two deas in the Zion and base of Metziah.
About the Rambam?
About the Rambam, yeah. So this is the Zion is where this discussion of Moshe at Kamazik is born out of. This is a Rambam Gufa Lochiyah Bobipshia Elamitam to have a Kamazik. The Kima de Mazik be a Zion Gufa Pater Behektish. Kol Shekain to Pater Mipshia. Right? So
you not highlighted it. It makes it much harder for me.
Please, you underline.
Well, you can highlight it in yellow, maybe.
I'm gonna get a little.
Yeah,
that was a good move.
Yeah,
is it better?
Ooh.
Yeah. Savage.
If you want to turn the lights off, then actually.
Yeah, let me turn that one of the lights off.
So we have it. Also,
well, we have it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other.
Right,
that's good. That's good. That's good.
I can have the other lights on.
No.
Okay. Wasn't the word.
So the second day of Pnei Yeshua is.
Wait, you said the first day again.
Yeah, so the first day of Pnei Yeshua is that you can't be chayiv for Moshiach, Kemazik, and Hekdesh. The Kivan Demazik be a dying Gufa Pater, Behekdesh, Koshkin de Pater Mimshia. Right? Meaning Moshiach, Kemazik is an application of Mazik, Mazik, and if Mazik, Mazik, Hekdesh is Pater, then Moshiach, Kemazik, Hekdesh gotta be Pater.
Yeah, but there's no evidence for that. Like, it's just
right.
Staying
in
very general
of here's. In Lo Shenomar, the Rambam says, Lo Sphere Le Haikol Shekasva Tosos, the Mazik be dying Pater Nen Torah, if you'll be carrying. Hal Sphere Le, the Lama Maikva, the Chiyocha, the Chamash Lechot. Like the simple reading of the Mar Bamatzia. Aval Gav, Shah Tosos, Kasush Kim Bor Bishami Behadja, Esher Shem Uza, or Rambam, so Versha Talmash Lan Acholi Puza. So Pnei Yeshua here is at least entertaining the possibility that the Rambam takes the Mar Bamatzia Kipshuto, Adam Hamazik Hekdesh is liable to pay back the principal. The Ptur only applies to the Chomesh. In which case, it sounds like the Rambam's omission from Hilchos Chiyuros is just a mistake. In principle, Poshea, Hamazik, and Hekdesh would be Chayiv, because its actual Nizkei Hekdesh is Chayiv, at least for the principal. And then we'd have to go with Noah's reading of the Rambam, that the Rambam meant Shor Shel Yishol Shenogach Shor Shel Hekdesh Dafka. This is not generalizable into a broader principle to our Adam Hamazik LaHekdesh. So then it would be Machlokas Rambam against Tosfos.
That's your view
also. What?
It's also
your view. It was just as entertaining.
Yeah, no, I don't have a strong view about which reading is right. I was just giving Seltzer some trouble about whether his reading was dispositive.
But this reading is not distinguishing yours from Noah's. Oh, you said you don't have one necessarily.
Yeah, I'm just saying I don't know which one of these two readings is right. I think the Dia from Elvis strongly supports the reading that it's a broad principle of Tur Hekdesh in general, even from Adam Hamazik.
Didn't you like the Pnei Yeshua?
What?
Do you really like the Pnei Yeshua, or you're just laying it as an option?
What's that?
Do you really like the Pnei Yeshua?
Which part of the Pnei Yeshua? The first half or the second half?
The second half.
The second half?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's, isn't that how you're reading the Rambam?
Yeah, I just don't.
You like it when you read it that way, you just don't like it when Pnei Yeshua reads it? Same?
I don't like it for him.
Josh, I'll be on
the wall. I don't like a Roman.
Because maybe they joke.
Based off the Yerushalmi to lav dafka the Gemara Bavitzia, and you say Mechatesi at the Rambam buys into that Kiddush. Right? And it's supported by the, I think the well, sometimes you think if you take Seltzer's read or not, but the simple pshat of the Rambam is Shor Shel Yishol Shenogach Shor Shel Hekdesh. It's a Gzeiras HaKasuv Shor Yehu. Not sure what you do about the second line, but you say the second line just means.
Only Shein Rego.
What?
Only Shein Rego. We didn't talking about Adam Mazik.
Well, do you mean Shein Rego or do you mean Karen?
Well, I'm saying it could be either Karen only or also Shein Rego.
This classic, though, is Karen.
Yeah, okay, but that doesn't have to. Even the Pnei Yeshua could concede that the Rambam extends it to Shein Rego without conceding it extends to Adam Mazik.
of like extra level.
Yeah, well, see, Shannon Regal's, it's not so clear.
Right, but I'm saying, like, Shannon Regal is certainly like an easier step to move to than Automatic.
Yeah, correct.
Which Automatic, the Deaning of Automatic aren't even discussed.
Fair. So you're saying maybe this generalized thing, this line that Seltzer was pointing us to is for Shannon Regal.
Potentially. I mean, like, how can I understand that? But it does.
Although, even by having Deaning Ezekiel is a very strong phrase, right, to defend Seltzer.
Yeah, but being Ezekiel Mumble. The whole
but Deaning Ezekiel is broader than right. This Deaning Ezekiel. That's how you read it.
Right. Isaac, do you want to say something or
is there a reason why Automatic
would be Chayiv? Why Automatic would be Chayiv? That would be the svara for it. Yeah, so let's try to figure out the svara in 1 minute.
Yeah.
I wanna just lay out the other shitas and then we'll try to see if we can come up with some general theory. So the Arsameach in Ezekiel on Alf Beis. So he has a. He thinks that the Rambam thinks he agrees with Noah's reading. She says, "Chiyotzu is a parash makamachia the shita shabenu the mazik hektish chayin b'tashlumei kara." So he agrees with that second day in the Pnei Yeshua that. Other Hamazik Hekdesh would be Chayav to pay Karen. Uki the Machno of Pashto, the Shmua Sav, the Shmua Perka Shoel, like the straightforward reading of Fogmitzia. And then he seems to misread Sphirus. He says, Rokhain Pasak, the Poshea Chayav, the Shomer Nitzay Hekdesh, the Tam, the Avi Mazik. Right? So he's not sensitive to the fact that the Rambam Dafto left out the Hekdesh example from Poshea Kamazik. He just thinks that, well, you know, the Rambam in Halacha Aleph there mentioned that generally these rules don't apply to these five cases. And then in Halacha Gimel, he said, well, it applies to three of them in the case of Shia. So he said, maybe Rambam really thinks they apply to all. Poshea Kamazik applies to all five cases, so I think this is not a good idea. But that's the way he's reading it. And then he says, Perish Lagavoa aimed in the Zekin. Oh, so he said, what do you do with Yushalmi? Right, the Yushalmi implied ain din nizikin b'klal to Hekdesh. So it's a very clever suggestion. And he says, you remember we saw parts of this Arsameach earlier in the year. He says, what Yushalmi means is that even though you're paying back Keren, it functions differently from Tashlumei Nizikin. I mean, even if in two cases you're paying back the principal, so you're paying back the same amount, you could pay back b'toras balchov, or you could pay back b'toras nezikin. One of them is closer to the chiyuv of being nene minitzei chaveiro, like the Gemara talks about on Daf Yates, like you pay back just because you benefited from somebody else's property. And in the other case, you're paying back because you actually were mazik them. The clearest nafkamina is whether you pay for meitav. The Arsameach argues that yes, you pay keren, meaning you pay the principal, but l'gavoa ein din nizikin rak havi kechov da'alma shevekoach ha'adam l'hischayiv l'hekdesh kein huchayiv al yidei kublas ezeko. In the same way that you could make a voluntary donation to the Beis HaMikdash, you effectively make an equivalent donation when you are mazik their assets. She'im mazika l'pasha Chayiv b'tashlumin, but lo midin hezek. V'im kein havi kebal chov d'alma. You're just like somebody who's in debt to Hekdesh. U'mashali min haTorah b'zigoris. You can voluntarily make yourself a bal chov to the.
Yeah, it's like here's a donation to the Beis HaMikdash.
You can buy damaging money.
Yeah, so that's his move. His move is to say that you're not paying like qua engaging in a wrongful act qua Hekdesh. But it's just like it's an assumed automatic obligation to pay for the thing that you got from them. But it's not the Karas Nezikin, and it's not, and therefore you're not going to pay in this. I think it's interesting because remember, like when we discussed the sugya of Meitav, so like there are a lot of interesting reasons for why you would pay Meitav. Some of them we were trying to suggest had to do with the fact that there was like you're paying Meitav because you violated what was theirs. Right, that's how you pay back from the best of your nechazim. And so you might say, that aspect of nezek doesn't apply in the case of Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash doesn't have the same kinds of right to the nechassim that they have. There's no like rights violation when it comes to hekdesh. Maybe that's only applicable to persons. So it's somewhat reasonable that you have to reinstate that which you took from hekdesh, but it's not betoras nezek, and melech's not going to have the din of nezikin. All right, so it's just like you just have to like make back their like their material losses. Like so, you gain from them, you benefit from them, or you cause them a loss. So give them something back. But it's not like the same kind of wrongdoing which generates liability for Torah Meita. Everybody see that? Dying.
I'm pretty sure I have it clear now, but they're giving it back to, directly to the base of Meita, showing the front door or something. Right?
Yes.
Not to the middle.
Right. Okay. I think that's the case. Suppose the base of Meita has like assets that they could sell off in your Mazik then. Then you get
because
it's an interesting question. What's going to happen in that case?
Who's bringing this case? I'm saying
I don't think Noah will help us out later. But if it's a case of Azma Makdim and it's a Chila Krayis, maybe the case could be brought by the out there.
I think this explanation makes sense in that the whole Torah of Hekdesh that we've seen as we're explaining is just with respect to the Chumash. And so what that's basically doing is saying that Nezikin by Hekdesh, it's not Me'ilah. Because Chumash is what makes
Me'ilah,
it.
Right.
It is more of a Me'ilah thing. So we're saying this Nezikin is not a wrongful act like Me'ilah that you're taking advantage of. This is just this other not wrongful act, this Baal Chov din you have to pay back.
So you're saying this is very consistent with the idea that there's no real chomesh. So it's not like you've wronged Hekdesh.
Correct.
But you can't get away with like ruining their property without making it back to them.
Right.
So that would explain why you have a status as a Balfour rather than a status as a Masa. Yeah, I think this permission from makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Jonah, do you like it?
I guess it's kind of interesting that it creates like this kind of feel.
Right, ain't it begin hezek, rapid club down. It's an interesting question about like, what do you think that is it always the same amount as the nezek, or is it maybe it's kefida hana?
Right.
Sounds like it's kefida shir hanezek.
Right.
Like, should a koach adam l'skai v'hekdesh kach v'chai v'adeh pula sezeka.
So in essence, you're just paying the parent.
Right. Just the principal.
Right. If you were, background question, if you were,
It says that's what Yushalmi means when it says that there's nezikin lahedyo ve'in nezikin l'gavoa. There's no din nezikin. I mean, there's no formal rule of metah, even though there is tashlumin for the parent.
Just like a background question, when you pay tithe and nezikin, are you
paying
for the
amount
you get?
Yes, that's the issue. So, Mila, you pay the value of the thing you took, but you only pay it when you get enough.
Right, I was saying, technically, this is like a way of, like, saying,
you have
a huge
Mila.
Like,
if you have
a
huge
Mila, it's
also. Five? Right, but it's not Betoras Mila, it's Betoras, it's like Bachol.
Yeah, okay, but it's like similar to Mila.
Well, but it doesn't have any idea of Mila, right? There's no. Chomash, there's no carbon.
Okay, but it has like a thing that's similar, like parameters.
I think just in the sense that you have to reimburse Hekdesh for their loss.
And you're paying keyboards.
Well?
And in fact, you're paying keyboards.
Is that like Mila in general?
I think so. No.
I don't know, I have to double check what the.
Maybe it's a Balfour, but you can pay the minimum.
Well?
This is a Balfour that you can pay the minimum, no? I mean, I totally pay the keyboard.
Yeah. I'll hold this thing more and get in. Right. Isaac, you have thoughts on the Amir Simcha?
I don't really see the relevance of the Sugya. Like, you just think that's like this random theory that has nothing to do with the human. So you just agree with the general theory that there's no theory with the human at all.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I think it's. What do you make of Isaac's point? Yeah.
I think this is the thing so far as every time you know, it's just as Mara said, there's some form of chiyuv to Hekdesh, we're just like, oh, well, it's because of the chov. And
the new test right. case really is whether or not you're having to pay as it is.
Right.
It's been made out.
Right.
And it's not so important. It's only important so far as you think it's super important to figure out specifically what Gamma holds in every study up. But in terms of like our study, the significance is it's just like a straw man or like an alternative argument where it's
right.
more
I think it's also significant in you know, you might have thought that this is I think it's significant in pointing out that acts of nezek can give rise to tashlumei balcho, which are distinct from chiyuvei nezikin.
Well, acts of nezek, you're saying it's not acting nezek.
Well, then what generates the chiyuvei balcho in this case?
How some random Torah goes chiyuv.
Well, is that what I mean, I think it is because you're mazik hektish. So I think the kiddush here is that he's really thinking. So before he says this, I know of two paradigms. There's a chiyuv mazik, where you pay meitav, which is what we've been talking about all year. And then there's a chiyuv hana, which we saw briefly, like in the cases of Shein Varega versus Arabin, where you're mishalim mashenene. Just that there's no unjust enrichment. I shouldn't enrich myself at your expense. And those are two separate breeds. Here, he's saying there's this in-between category where you pay for damages, but not b'toras nezikin, and not b'toras hana either. So it's like saying like every case of nezikin has two dinim. There's the case of compensating for the loss and paying meita because like you acted wrongfully or you violated his rights or whatever. In some cases where there's no din nezikin, but you're still mazik, like in hektish, it still gives rise to this chiyuv for the damages b'toras b'achol. So I think it's fascinating in that he does think this is Tashlumei Nezikin, just not Torah's Nezikin. And the Chiddush being that part of your duty is just to reinstate losses.
I mean, generally, when you cause someone a loss, but there's no wrongful act, you don't have a fee to pay back, but for a Chiddush, even though you can act wrongfully and very against you cause a loss, is the basis for you?
I'm not sure what the right answer to that is. I don't know if he wants to say maybe you acted wrongfully, but there's no right. There's no persons whose rights were violated in the relevant sense, and so therefore you still have to make back the losses. Or he means that you didn't act wrongfully, but still it's wrong. But still it's bad that Hekesh walks out with a loss.
You don't want to say that latter one though, because then you get really the tricky area when you're talking about it's sort of.
Yeah, right. So
like,
what's the distinction?
I'm confusing. Why aren't you still at least high on a chov?
Right. Because this is a chov. This is a chov bideyada. I'm just not b'toras
nezikin. It seems that like you want to say yeah. It's a maisa hezek here, but a maisa hezek that's not committed against another man can't have
right.
interpersonal responsibility.
Something like that. Right. So I think that's why it is very relevant to our sugya, because he's not just saying, oh, there is no nezek to hektish, and you're paying this other thing. This other thing has got to be a derivative of some kind of mazik hektish with a special tour or whatever this tour of hektish is grounded in. Does everybody see that? Does everybody see the significance of the arson map? Right? Leah, do you see the significance?
Yeah.
Yeah, you see the significance, right?
I was going to say exactly what you said. The point is there's two elements in that.
Right.
He said that we can now distinguish them based on who is
damaged. Right. And if I had a mark, I said, I mean, there's two elements, it's always just a loss.
Yeah.
And he's like, here you're paying for the loss.
Right,
there's like a wrongdoing or the rights violation. And it's those rights violations, wrongdoing, which gives rise to meitav and something less, which gives rise to the obligation to compensate. Yeah, Jonah.
But just like, I just wanted to mechanically, he establishes, okay, like we know that people have the ability to become Baalei Chov to the Mikdash.
Right.
So he's like, and therefore.
They do.
But therefore, like this is how it
right.
goes on. Like in theory, to become Baal Chov, then you see like typically agreements and stuff like that. Like why
yeah.
would I want to become Baal Chov? Like it's
right.
an involuntary chov.
Correct. Because you're a mazik.
Right.
The chov is generated by the act of nezek. That's what's so interesting.
Right. Meaning, isn't that like possibly a finish of nezikin? Meaning that like despite the fact that there is no like formal agreement between us. Like,
that's exactly what I'm saying. That's why you see he thinks that mazik hektish is not nothing.
Right.
Mazik hektish gives rise to a duty to compensate.
Right. That's correct.
But a Balchov duty to compensate, not a Nezikin duty to compensate. And so he breaks open this new category that we wouldn't have known
right.
without his finish.
Just the furthest thought implication for the Rishamayah, going back to other studies we saw in the Mitab, it seems that the Rishamayah here would have to commit to say because the Mitab are not about financial compensation
or
loss of access to money, but actually
right.
interpersonal violation.
The rights violation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
That was one of the suggestions we made in Maytag.
Exactly.
Even though there were different sheet does. Yeah, 100%. I think that's right. Yoni and Nathan.
Do you understand the Orson math of extending this for all types of music or just for auto modules?
So.
You think I should have been like caret also in the kind of?
I think he thinks it's limited. He thinks it applies to all cases, I think. Right, that was his first line, that it applies to Adam Mazik as well.
Yeah, I was thinking about the Adam Mazik. I'm saying, is he limiting this like special data view cobalt only to Adam Mazik?
No, I think it applies to everything. Because the Ushalmi has the very broad phrase, right, about there's Nizik and Lahedja, Bain Nizik and Ligvoa. So you think, what does that mean, Ain Nizik and Ligvoa? Ain Nizik means no din Tashlume Nizik in Pate Meta.
Just talk about how poorly he reads Romans 2 for a second. I just don't understand how. Not that it like it invalidates the rest of the Zebu phrase, but it's bizarre that he reads, he's like, oh, and I found a group.
Doesn't say it. But he's thrown off by the Halacha Aleph, which talks about Hekdesh, and then he's saying, oh, when they're on
the list, it goes... I don't have the script quite of it, so it goes, you know, the guys on the side of the rainbow who have said there may be a different
year, so... We have to double check, yeah. So, but that bothers me that he is bad.
It's a little concerning, and he's just so awful.
To take the good and leave out the bad.
No, that's fine. It's the rest of it's really fascinating.
Yeah.
Big fan of Reshkoff
Right.
You ever been to the Vins?
Yeah, it's right this first.
Right. If you close the knock on every time there was a bad argument there, then you wouldn't get very far. Right?
If you run Sabur every time there's a bad argument, you don't have anyone to go.
Hey, now.
All right. Who else has a comment? Isaac, do you have a comment?
Let me say that. I mean, I can't see the rest of it.
Yes. Can we do it now?
He said that for Shane and Regal, he said maybe for Shane Regal, you don't say the thing, but for the much madness, where here? The main key is the connection with Shane Regal.
So if I have to ask, I'll pay our Shane and Regal. We're talking about the Imam Shari, and I'm calling him Shane and
it's a parallel case.
Right, I think he's just saying that in general, you also see that even though it's a Torah Hekdesh, of course you'd still pay Mashan Ennis for Shane Beregel versus Sarabin, for Shane Beregel.
So that means you wouldn't pay for Karen.
What?
That means you wouldn't pay for Karen.
They're not paying for Kohl also. It's different than Kohl.
Right, it's a little.
It sounds like it's only out of Mazik, it's all finished.
Yeah, it sounds like it's out of Mazik.
Think so?
Yeah, but otherwise, Shane Beregel should be the same model. Why is he dropping down to the Mashanen, which is certainly at the lower level? So why is he bringing that in?
So you're saying, after you mature, you have to share a lower level of Mashanen.
Oh, it's
a
good world. It's not lower, it's just a
lower.
Just like a skin
lower. Mashanen is a better or worse.
It's different.
Exactly. It's better
than the rest.
I just think it's different. I don't think it's lower level.
Right, so in these cases where there's a special, on the assumption that Shane Beregel are covered by Shorri Yehu, and you're still going to pay to Mashanana.
Yeah, right, as opposed to paying the Baal Kol amount.
Right.
Right.
Correct.
In which case, then science that only other Mavik is paying the Kol amount.
Right. But assume, right, but suppose he held, suppose you disagree with this statement and think that Shorri Yehu is limited to Karen. As you disagree with the fact that he's generalized.
Either way, why would Karen also have a fee? Why would Karen have that fee also?
Because there's a special fee that costs a pot for you.
From Nizikin.
What?
From Nizikin. His whole point of the whole tour is from Nizikin. So why doesn't he go with that?
No, his point is that. Saying why is this?
You saw me. Shami goes pasuk, right? Shami goes shorei. That's when I profit.
you're saying, why shouldn't there be a question about Ho for sure also, right? Get back to this other point in a second. The Ravid and the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid and the Dafa. So the Ravid is Elim the Nagav Tura the Dalam Tura the Hektish the Kashalaf Havale the Mainmar the Afla Tura the Dan with Sada the Hektish. Right, a case of shame where the Xeris Akasim doesn't tell you that there's no fear. To have a shame to regular kamayri. Elahahi mikra nami fiyube mikhayiv. So the Torah holds you liable for shame committed against Hekdesh. The haloksiv be reyeyu. Elah bekaren tamim bovad. The whole Xeris Akasim is limited to Karen. So there's no liability for. Sorry, the whole tour is limited to Karen. So there's full liability for Shane Varegel committed against Hekdesh. About the Shane Varegel, Hekdesh, sorry, the Hedyot Shavim name. Ireland doesn't have the right to say that, sorry. Hekdesh, the Hedyot Shavim name. The Lotar Chamese, the son of Acher, Hav Karina Be. This is a very interesting line, the right says. It's obvious because it's a beer, Besada Acher, and Hekdesh is considered to be Sada Acher. Ramban and Gittin disagrees, that contests. He says, Minalan had the Shane Varegel to Rebishal Hekdesh. He disagrees with the Ravid, he disagrees with Rashi, and Pata for Shane Varegel the Hekdesh. He says, oh, maybe it's learned out from war, etc. Inami, the Sada Acher, Mashma, the Losha Hekdesh. The Hekdesh Lor Acher, who shall pull Shalom. It's interesting, Machlokas, everybody agrees that Re'ehu excludes Hekdesh. You have Machlokas, whether Sada Acher excludes Hekdesh, because of this idea. Hekdesh is not Shalacher, it's Shakol Shalom. Everyone seems to have a chilek in Hekdesh because their bone shalom owns everything.
Everyone is
a chilek. So, Hekdesh can be considered a Sada Shalacher.
I also have a chilek.
Well?
Because I also have
so I think you need that. So their bonus roll owns everything. Uh-huh. Right? And so it doesn't make sense to talk about this distinction of mine and thine when it's between mine and Hektish. Right? Because like their bonus roll owns everything, including my sada. So like my property rights can't be distinguished from the Hektish property right.
Therefore, you would be chayav.
And therefore, it can't be that sada acher is lafuke sada shel Hektish. Everybody see that?
Yeah.
So it's very, very sort of think of what? No.
Because
you sort of think of machlokas here to the Raya and Rabban, whether sada acher excludes sada shel Hektish. Ubir sada acher is the makor for liability for shame and regel. And the question is, does that include a sada Hektish? The Ravid says, yeah, the Ravon Shalom's field is not my field. Right, the sub that you'll have there. And the Ravid says, it's not true. The Ravon Shalom's field is not considered to be someone else's field from my field. Right? So you can put it in a more precise way. The Ravon Shalom owns both my shore and this field. And so the shore is not causing damage in a sub that shall have there. Right? I think
it's made us think about this one. Right? Okay, done. You're right in saying that Sadeh Acher is because, like, oh, Hashem is considered Acher, or, like, the Hektish is considered. Like, meaning, could it be, like, a different, she has a different formulation of what Hektish is? Like, does everyone agree that it's for sure, like, it's Hashem's, or could it be,
yeah,
like,
the Gizbar's?
So are you all bad, or could it be like the all, it's really everyone? So like it's not about Hashem, but the Hektish is like something.
But even then, I think that falls more than our bonds. Right? If it's communal, in a sense,
true.
Then it would still get to the same point that it's not just out there.
True, but I'm saying like maybe because is it like for sure that he has to say that, so I don't know why I'm like against it, but like, there has to be Hashem. It's like, because it doesn't.
Alright.
I was saying, like, are there other possibilities of what that could mean?
In between. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, just like, what the different. Because maybe I'm trying to say is, like, maybe there's a different focus of what the Hektish really is.
Right. It's like a. Well, I think that's right. I think they're definitely arguing about the right characterization of Hektish.
Yeah.
Right? And whether, given that characterization, whether it constitutes other. Right.
So yeah, basically not just like...
You've got more of a fine-grained analysis.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, what exactly is that
been? Yeah, because the only possibility we've had is that it's not Shem's. Like, other
right.
Possibility.
Yeah, you're saying this maybe our mind here is too strong, right? It's like, Shem, full show. Maybe,
like, I don't know. Like,
right.
So, like, I'm just saying, are there other possibilities?
Right.
What
there's a good Mekubal, and, you know, but... for us Litvax, or for us non-Mekubal, Avi, you were going to answer?
No.
Oh, what were you going to say? You had to get your hand up.
I was just going to comment that maybe there's a distinction between how you need the staff there or the staff there. It's possible that there's a staff with like a different field, not the field of another person. I don't know.
Meaning it's... So I think in halacha it is read though as a acher of someone else's.
Yeah,
right.
Not
a different field. Right. Yeah. You're saying if it was a different field, then maybe that would be sufficient.
I was trying to
make a distinction. Right. I think they're clearly working with an idea that it's someone else's.
It's simply, okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But I can look back at it.
Okay.
Hey, Don.
Yeah, I just find it really interesting what the Rive is doing because we know that all of the others have like specific and unique dinim or paturim or being the whole debate about how you want to characterize.
Yeah, he's creating more of a gap between.
Exactly. That's A. B,
yeah.
I also find it fascinating.
This is good for the relationship between the Avos.
Yeah.
Right. And so since that's still what you're learning, and since that's what you're up to,
you can share.
Right, so the Avos.
Yeah.
The
Avos,
the
Avos.
Okay.
The Avos are teaching about the Avos.
Yeah. So... I don't have like a full idea about this, but I think it's really fascinating that he talks about the Gemara and the Kofar talks about how it's a limited time go by also. And you say, oh, you can't learn out and you're pretty much sure Eyu and the din of the Patur is only in a short time and not in a short Luad. So he seems to be taking is like he's really, really focused on it, and saying this is super, super, super like the puzzle is like ad
absolutely like limited just to Karen's
right.
only.
Right.
But at the same time,
Regal,
then, and he shows that by saying like, "Oh, Ustaka is a Shane Regal thing that can't include that at all." I don't really know how to formulate that correctly at all. I think what I'm trying to say is that again, what you said, thing is that he's really taking the elbows and saying everything
yeah.
is its own
distinct categories.
Totally
yeah. So you like the right bit.
I don't like it, but I think it's really fascinating that he does that.
Right.
Because I don't think that's Pashas and Pusik. I think it's...
I'm saying off, I like
Darabak. Yeah.
Like Darabak. Yoni.
To push back, I'm not sure he's saying that they're all the same categories. It could be that Dafik Tom, Karen Tom, Dafik is known as the category. Like, specifically, around time I'm more on Buak, as opposed to Shane Ragdow and Buak, Karen Buak, which are all kind of like, they're all separate.
Yeah, what do you say? Is it Tor Hektish for Shar Buak? Oh my gosh, Shal Hektish?
Presumably, I mean, that's
yes.
not clear here, but like you could definitely suggest that they follow the Shane Durango. There's something about Boa that's distinct from Karen specifically.
Right.
Because Karen, the Pusik array was down to go by Tom.
Right, presumably this thought would be that Boa would be Kyle, just like Shane Durango. But with this thought, it would be, meaning what Durango would say, that in a case of Boa, Trump Boa, it would be the exact same thing as Shane Durango would be Kyle. That's what I think Yon's
getting at.
Right. Yeah.
And,
I think it's an open question whether this is. I think it would be a big kiddish for the Ryman to go make the further claim without stating it explicitly that Ashur Muach in his Hekdish is Kayak. Right. I think he's just working within the frame of the Gemara that Ashur, Bain Muach, Bain Tam, Shizik Hekdish is Potter. And the only distinction in Shonai is between Shane Borrego and Harry.
I don't know why you should make Kiddush. The Pasuk says Karen. There's no other A about Karen. You want to talk to Karen versus Tom?
Yes, Karen Tom.
Karen
Tom.
Yeah, and the Pasuk Ray about Tom, and Karen Tom. And the Mar of Mishnah about Tom dying, where the source of Ray comes up, is talking about Karen Tom also.
But then the question is, why shouldn't we distinguish then between
Mua?
Right, Karen Tom, Baal, the Mua, Kushin Borrego. And then also his rationale. Is this is Sadeh Acher, right?
Well, that's for the question. Right, so I think that.
Well, no, there he needs to. Many of that kind of sports company, because he needs to explain why Sadeh Acher doesn't include Hekdesh. But for Karen Mua, there's no plus at all, you would think it's good Hekdesh.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're getting at. I see why that would minimize Eitan's. Excitement. I'm just not sure if there's enough room here to read it into the right edge, because you would have to say, just type it in. But it'll be interesting. We should keep our eyes open to see before Wednesday to see if anybody has that distinction that Shor Mua, the Karen, would be side of the Hekdesh based off this idea of the right edge.
I'll just go to the second answer, number one, that we underlined.
Yeah.
There seems like there would be different reasons for Pturim, even though everything's Pturim, but different reasons for Pturim, like Karen.
Right? Yeah, Reyu versus
Steacher, right. Reyu is there's no address I can pay it to. Steacher is that there's everything belongs together.
But I wouldn't be so sure that Reyu itself is because there's no address. Did you everybody hear Selter Zara? Selter saying that you see from this Ramban that there are actually two separate Pturim for. This is for Karen, and this is for Shane Borrego. So maybe would there be nafkamina in terms, like conceptually, as to whether the Ptur is grounded in its alav sadeh acher versus it not being shel re'eyu, right? So for example, you might say maybe a goy or something is sadeh acher, but it's not re'eyu. So maybe you'll have nafkamina ladina about whether the Ptur hekdesh is. Born out of this rather than that.
So with the Ravid, when he says Hekdesh, is he including multiple lists that we discussed before, like in the Ramban? Meaning, like, if we're talking
yeah,
about...
Yeah, we don't know. He doesn't weigh in. Exactly.
I guess that's just the art, you know, what the prototype of the classic
right.
case we're talking.
And what would the Ravid say about Adama Mazik?
Yeah.
Hekdesh. Right?
The Gemara in the fourth paragraph talks about when they go through all the different... They go, you know, Shor Akhlin, Shor Hekdesh.
Right.
They do the same thought process.
Yeah, it's not for Latina if they share the exact same data. So let me get to the last point I want to make today. And that is take a step back. So we should try to figure out. I don't have a good answer on the spot for today, but everyone should try to think about this for Wednesday. What would explain our distinguishing between Adil Hamazik, Nizke Karen, and Nizke Shane Beregel with respect to Hekdesh? Right, so for example, on the view that the Rambam thinks Adil Hamazik Hekdesh is Chayiv, but Nizke Shore is Pater, why would that be? Is it just because Adil Hamazik is more egregious? Would it be a Mazik-based reason for the distinction? Or is it something that in order to be chayiv for Nizke Shor, there's a higher demand of Re'eu? So for example, you might say, the liability that arises from my Gavra harming you is because of wrongful acts. And that of course applies to Hekdesh. But duties of extra care on my Shor has to do with creating like the right kind of social cooperation so that we could all use our property rights in a mutually coexisting way, or in a way that's mutually coexisting, right? Or in a way that's like fair to everyone. And maybe that arises more from a concept of social cooperation, Re'ehu, which doesn't apply to Hekdesh, whereas the idea of Adil Hamazik is shayach even when there's no shared social world. Right? So you might think that something like that underlies the distinction. But then you also want to provide an explanation why would the writer think that there's a difference between Nizke Shane Beregel and Nizke Karen. So that's something we want to think about for Wednesday. The last thing I want to cover today is what might be a general theory for why, just the question I opened up with, what would be the general reason for why Mazik Hekdesh would be Pater? So interestingly, Rav Shach in his Avi Ezri has a theory that he puts forth. He puts it very strongly. His claim is that there just is no bialos for Hekdesh at all. So, like, Hekdesh has no property rights. So, he quotes the... He actually agrees with Noah's reading. Sorry. He agrees with Stelter's reading of the Rambam. Okay, so you have Panovich on your side. How does that make you feel? How do you think it'll make them feel when they see your chauffeur blowing on Yom HaTzmaut?
Whoa.
That's true. So he asks, well, what's the general reason? How do we know? He says, how do we know that Adil Hamazik Hekdesh is Pater? This is the question that he starts off with. After all, the Gzeiras HaKasav is limited to the case of Nizkei Shor. So how could the Rambam generalize to all cases of Nizikin? Just want to point out he has the Diyuk in the Rambam. He has this So he has the exact same diyak that Selter has. That second phrase in the Rambam shows you that Hekdesh is mufka from all dinei nezikin, right? So he says, how did Rambam know this? So he goes on this little detour to say that, look, Hekdesh can have property rights before the stuff they own is made Hekdesh. Hekdesh, afshe kodem shenase kadosh ikri shehekdeshu kimo hejo limkar v'lignos for this coast. Hekdesh could hold title, could hold property before the stuff is endowed with kedusha. Quotes the idea of bonin b'chol v'achakach makdishin. He quotes the Gemara Zav that talks about Hekdesh could lend out money with ribis. He says, that's all before the money is endowed with Kedusha. Haresh yesh bailos v'rishush shel Hekdesh, v'zehu rak terem shehen kedoshim. Aval acharesh nase kadosh, ein kan bailos, elahu din iser v'dinei me'ilu b'chu. What he wants to say is that once the stuff becomes Hekdesh, there's no more property rights to Hekdesh. All there is Yoredeya rules about Yisurim. So I can't take stuff from Hekdesh because it's usser. I violate something if I benefit from it. But it's not because of Chushi Mishpat ownership. It's just bad. It's like eating trade. Right? It's not that I violated Hekdesh's rights in any ways. Very interesting suggestion. He goes on to try to prove this. Very famous posos in Baba Basra.
So the Gemara and the Basra and Tosfot have said that if I'm matish a boar, so I give it over to Hekdesh, and then water falls into the boar, there's no iser me'ila in the water that later falls into the boar. Because we don't say that Hekdesh, there's a chatzah for Hekdesh, and therefore Hekdesh is konan. And he says the reason is, Acharisha kadosh yesh alav rak dine isurim, v'ein zeh reshush shel bayla. The reason why there's no kinyan chatzah for Hekdesh is because Hekdesh has no property rights. Kinyan chatzer is that my chatzer could work as my kinyan to be koneh for me. But since the chatzer is only Hekdesh in the sense of being a surim, that other people can't use it, so it can create Hoshe Mishpah kinyanim on behalf of Hekdesh. Means that Rishosh Shalvayim, there's no real owner to the chatzer. He puts another raya for this. He says, "Raya is that perush." He says, "If you're matish in ilan, and then fruits grow after you're matish it, so the fruits don't have kedusha." And he says, "V'al karkach sheikar a perush and mishum shehekdesh achar shekadosh, who rak dine kedusha lo, aval ein kan bialos virishus, umashe huktash lo hayotze meilan shehein perush." He says, the reason why I own fruits that grow out of my tree is because the tree is mine. But if I'm makdish a tree to Hekdesh, and then the fruits grow out later, Hekdesh can't be kone the fruits, because all there are dina kedusha, there's no bona fide ownership. So based on this argument, he says, the imkain, the Hebrew here is a little strange, but the imkain vadun behekdesh bishum dina mazik eshel chavero kimo behedyok ein one.
Like a translation from a different language,
right? V'chol ha'chiyuvim behekdesh rak midine mi'ila shel meida mitruma. V'al karkach mazik malkein mazik pater. You see what he's saying? See what he's saying over here in this last line? What? No, he's saying because there's no ownership for hekdesh, so there also can't be dine mazik. Because the dinim hekdesh are rak dinim kedusha. So that's a very strong way of saying that you can only be liable for nezikin if I harm somebody's property. Since hekdesh doesn't hold any property, there can't be any nezek or any liability for nezikin. It's a very strong way of putting the position. And so it's not just a lack of re'eyu, it's a lack of property rights. So I violate some yerodeya problem, but it's born out of hilchos me'ila, there's an isser I violate. But I'm not trampling on anybody's rights. I'm not taking away someone's property. Let me make
a point with it. I was going to say, why would it, like, I understand what his proof is, but, like, why conceptually would it make sense that Hector shouldn't have property rights?
Why would it make sense?
Why wouldn't have property rights?
Only persons can hold property. There's no such thing as a non-alive entity holding property.
What about Beitin?
Maybe they don't hold property either. They can be maftir, but they don't have ownership. This is very relevant to the corporation discussion.
Yeah.
Same thing. Corporations can't hold property. Same thing. Hekdesh can't hold property either, because only human beings can hold property rights.
It's very, I think there's a ketos on this. It talks about, it's like, you know, Lutton Sinner of Salvation, we're big fans of this, to answer this question. Like, Hekdesh, to infuse holiness into this world, you need you need people to be ones that infuse holiness. So this non-entity to infuse holiness, you can never really, you know.
Right. Yeah. But he's saying something much stronger, right? Avi Ezri is saying much stronger. He's saying that it has nothing to do with this technicality that only a human peck can be makdish. He's saying that hekdish doesn't have property rights, and that's why they can't have a Kenyan chatzer.
It's pretty wild.
They can't hold property at all. So, point to him, is it wrong to steal from Hekdesh? There's no, right? I mean, there are some of the chassidim that don't have milah. So if you take the menorah out of the Beis HaMikdash and keep it in your backyard, right? Have you stolen from Hekdesh? No, because they have no property rights. Karka from Hekdesh or karka in general?
Well, karka might not have to be
milah. Yeah, those are no zeal in karka. There might be a different explanation.
That could be like, I don't forget the phrase, but like,
something that I make, obviously, but everyone in the world is like the storage house of Hashem.
Kol hecha de'ika be'gaza de'rachmanayika. Wherever it is, it's home.
It's because hecha just property rights everywhere.
But that's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying, though, right?
He was saying that. That's kind of like the... Like, because it's like all encompassed in hecha.
He's saying that hecha doesn't want anything.
Well, because it's all encompassed in hectic, nothing's encompassed.
But usually that svar explains why, like, I'm Yerusha Ligvok and Mr. Yerusha Lahedja, right? I don't need a Maisa Kenyan to give something to hectic because the Rosh Hashanah already has, like, a chalak in it. Right?
Right.
Here we're saying something like the opposite. It's so hard for hectic to be Kona, they don't even have a Kenyan chaser because they have no Kenyan in it. Right? And all there are liability, all there are medieval rules about when you're in a violation for taking something along to hectic. Let me just get out the other view as Yoni. I think you mentioned this earlier, the Rosh Hashanah Kol Harish. Oh, Joni, you mentioned it? Joni, you mentioned it.
Yeah.
The Rosh Hashanah Kol Harish. So he writes here in Shmos, Shori Eiyu, Piakabal Levanu, Dover Gadol. All right, so it's a savage idea, as he would say. Shori Eiyu, Amar Achmana Velo Shor Shel Hekdesh. Kos Tosos, then Kulo Nezikin, etc. What does he mean by that? What? I think he means that, like, Nechsei Hekdesh are the Nechasim of Klal Yisrael. Right? I mean, that's maybe what I was reading into the Ramban a little bit, that it's not a Sadash Shal Hekdesh, it's not necessarily a Sadash Shal Acher. Right? Because everyone has a Chelak in Nixei Hekdesh. It's an Nechasim of Klal Yisrael. You can't,
I
should pay Isaac's.
Right.
Right. But it sounds like he wants to say it's like. Maybe it's like a generalizing the Sadash Acher idea to all Nazi.
The Rav's notion of Knesset Yisrael is like it's this entity that's not a composite of all of the Jewish people. So it's very sure.
That's not a composite of it. You're saying it's just
its
own corporate
entity,
right?
Yeah.
Right. So you think the Hirsch is violating that?
Yeah.
That
makes sense.
Yeah, so I think you guys are right that A, so you're right that A, maybe it's the wrong interpretation of Hekdesh.
Yeah.
B, who cares that it's Lola Hatzma Chayibata, right? You also, what's relevant is that you also harm somebody else's property.
I don't know, why is he saying that?
Well?
I would assume that he's saying, he's assuming, like God, he has read, and then, like, giving this cute shot that, like, all you did is, like, harm yourself.
Not that, like, you lost your own.
But then why did you try to harm yourself?
Ivanita, though, is not, Ivanita is like, yeah.
How do you explain that? Why would you lose yourself harming on that? How do you lose yourself?
Sharp point.
Why?
Oh my God. Point
that
is no laws, right?
It
doesn't
mean
just
it's
violate
in
a moral sense. In a moral sense.
In a moral sense?
I don't know. Sometimes we have to check the original German to see what it meant.
English.
And he says, I don't know, my sense, I thought he means this and that. No, it's like, well, Nixay Gans Kla Yisrael, maybe like since you have a chilek in it, But they just say, no, maybe I have a stronger connection to Hekdesh than I have to some sort of Shlichus. And then he says, Ekshar Shiratza Torah Shechetze Shemayim Lo Yidunu B'dinei Adam. This is like a different idea already. I think it's more consistent with the Shori Eiyu idea. And the Torah didn't want humans to adjudicate over Chetze Shemayim. And then he says, so that's like a procedural issue. It's like a human court, a bezdin, is not the right tribunal to decide losses to Chetze Shemayim. So it's like a category error. The Yashar Shagam Amar Torah, Ein Zikin L'Gavoa, Shekain Tashlumi Pitsuy L'Gavoa, Lulim L'Tashkesh, Ikar Mahus HaPesha, Ta'ayim Shlichas Yad HaMazik, L'Chazon HaMikdash, Sha'achet HaTanizach, Unoso L'Miyatska. So you see, now he's trying to say a different shot, that the real wrongdoing, when you violate Hekdesh, can be solved through compensation. compensation is only when the monetary loss is either. Here, what's real wrong, the real wrong is the shiva siad behekesh. And so that can't be remedied by monetary compensation. Not even whether there's nisr. Right? It sounds like it means there's such a strong nisr, it just can't be remedied at all. Right?
Isn't
Zelo
the same thing?
What?
Isn't Zelo the same thing? To think we're wrong about the dimension.
And yeah, here it's like a vote. Shlita se adamazik, but it's hazona mikdash. Like the vision of the mikdash, which is supposed to be like off limits. Yeah.
I'm saying, like, because it's like this is Mi'ila just without being called Mi'ula. That's
right. Yeah, that's it seems to be what he's getting at.
Right.
The wrong is a kind of Mi'ila wrong. Although it's strange, the Torah reserved Mi'ila for those kinds
right.
of wrong, not just for Nezah. Right? Whoops, you crashed into the base of Mikdash. Like, sorry. You know, it's not like I didn't offend it in any way by misusing it. I just want to point out, and here, that there's an interesting possible nafkamina to these questions.
Can I go back to the first
question? Yeah, let me just throw out the nafkamina. Is so the one like quasi hekesh institutions today, like a kubas and tzedakah or mosh or beis hamikdash, machlokas nachonim whether these dinim would apply to these contemporary institutions. The answer Shlomo is adamant that they would not. Machlok v'edachol din hekesh by the kabayis al hekesh al achshol the tzara chayim or beis hakneses the talmud torah in behem din hekesh the things would apply ready to fall immediately. It's an interesting question why that would be, right? He thinks that. Contemporary quasi-Hekdesh institutions like a Kupa Staka, Beis HaKnesses, and Beis HaMedrash are not considered to be Hekdesh with respect to this tour. But you might say, well, why are they more Re'eu than the Beis HaMikdash?
Right?
So I don't know. I don't know what. I don't know exactly why he thinks this, but you might say, for example, if idea is that these things can't have property rights, the Abiezri sense, like they're real corporate entities, then you might say they're not humans who own these things, and you might say that the tour applies. Are you guys coming in? Okay, we have to end in a second.
Would that apply to all corporate entities?
Well, yeah, you might say in a Hanami. It's an open shiloh nezikin whether there's a chiv nezikin to corporate entities. Whereas if you think it's something special about like the kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, then you can see where you might begin to distinguish, but it's not obvious that you would. So let's take Liad's question and then we'll.
Well, the first,
yeah.
Isn't it just saying that you can't